But as the reading tonight was taken from Romans chapter 6, it is the carryover of the thought of the grace of God that's been established in Romans chapter 5. And Paul begins chapter 6, though he didn't break it down himself into chapters and verses. In his very next paragraph, he said, "What shall we say then to these things? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He's talked about that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So then he's asking the rational question, does that mean that we should just keep on sinning more? He's asking the question on behalf of some curiosity person that might say, well, if that be true, I'll just keep on sinning because that'll just give God more and more opportunity to be extending more and more grace. It's a very simple question. Should we keep on sinning that grace may abound? And his answer is straight to the heart of the matter, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Once we have been saved by the grace of God, it would be a foolish thought to say that we would want to go back and live in sin all over again, just so that God would keep having excuses to have to be gracious to us. God doesn't have to do anything. We need to be careful about our thoughts in that respect. No one here, I know, believes that, but that Jewish audience who had been converted, many of them were trying to pick Paul apart and trying to pick the teachings apart. And they just thought they'd found a fallacy there, and he sets the record straight. God forbid. Of course we don't keep on sinning so grace can abound. There's two extremes of the subject of grace, and we'll only say something briefly about that. One of them is that we might ignore grace too much. It may well be that in our efforts to get everything exactly right, that we could forget the fact that no matter how right we get things, we are still human, and we do still make mistakes along the way, and we all are in need of the saving grace of God. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, and all of mankind stands on level ground, totally in need of the saving grace of God. He does ask us to obey the gospel, to comply with his wills in order to receive that saving grace. But at the same time, we have to realize that it's not the perfection with which we have lived that we get our salvation, but it still is ultimately because of the grace of God. We need to be careful not to ignore the factor of grace here and fall into the category of the Pharisees. The Pharisees in the New Testament were self-righteous. They looked upon themselves as they had it all together. They were not sinners like those lowly ones out there. We must never get into that kind of mentality and leave the grace out of it by thinking that we are so good ourselves. The other extreme from leaving grace out of it and us thinking that we're possibly thinking that we are just too right by the right doing would be that of using grace as an excuse to sin, in the sense that there are people that would think of God's grace will fix it anyhow, that we live under an umbrella of grace, and we can just do anything we want to do, and God's grace is going to take care of it. That is going too far the other direction, in which we are not only saying that we're totally dependent on the grace of God, but we're almost saying, and therefore we can write our own ticket, and God will just fix it for us, and it doesn't work that way. God expects us to be obedient servants. And the Bible teaches in Titus chapter 2, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Titus 2, there's several passages in Titus chapter 2 and chapter 3 together, verses 11 and 12 in particular for that one. Titus 2, 11 and 12, the grace of God teaches us to deny sin. We cannot live in a world of sin just assuming that grace is going to take care of it. Nor can we assume that we ever would be perfect enough to never need grace. Those are the two extremes in the subject of grace, that we read about these and we try to do exactly what we know, what we learn that is right. So I want to talk to you just another about 2 or 3 minutes about balance in here. One of the things that we need to recognize is that everyone in this room is a sinner. And as a sinner, we everyone are in need of the grace of God. We need it to help increase our compassion for other people. I'm in need of the grace of God as much as anyone out on the streets of this city, no matter what their manners, no matter what their behavior is. We all, as sinners, stand in need of the saving grace of God. Secondly, we need to recognize that everyone is wrong on at least something. No one's perfect. We have thoughts, and our thoughts sometimes are right, sometimes they're wrong. But recognizing that we're going to have to depend on the grace of God ultimately for any mistakes that we make, it doesn't mean that we can just be flippant about it and not study God's law and not search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. But even after having searched so hard and so long, there still is room for human error or human misunderstanding. And we're dependent on the grace of God for our mistakes. If it were not for the grace of God, this preacher would not have a chance. I have to open my mouth too often. And when you open your mouth that often, you're bound to get something that's just not quite the way God intended for it to be. It doesn't mean that you just go ahead and say it anyhow because grace will fix it. It means, thank God there is grace, but I'm going to keep studying because I don't ever want to misrepresent the law of God and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how the Christian needs to act toward truth and toward what's right. We should never get to the point to where we think that we've got it all together and that we have all the answers. Because then our religious friends look on us with an attitude of they're smug, they're arrogant, and we don't want any part of that kind of religion. We need to be very humble, as we talked about this morning in our lesson, Paul's lesson on humility that brings about peace with God. And then we need to also be very aware of the fact that we all are human beings. And as human beings, we're just not capable of human perfection. Because we're human, there are tendencies within our very nature that are of the earth. When you're hungry, you want to eat. And if another man has food and you don't have food, the temptation is there. And a person has to wrestle with it, not to covet the fact that he has food and you don't have food. You see, because we're human, we have these factors in our lives that we have to deal with. And this reminds us that we're not the only ones that are in need of the grace of God, but neither are our friends. They're not the only ones that need the grace of God. We need it just the same, because all of us are sinners and because all of us are human beings. May we rejoice in God's grace and come boldly to the throne of mercy that we might have grace and his strength and his help in time of our need. The Bible is so wonderful in its descriptions, and we certainly need to be appreciative of the fact that where sin abounded, God's grace did much more abound to meet the needs of a sinful flesh. He wants us to go to heaven. He's done everything within his power to accommodate our going to heaven. It's up to us to submit and surrender to his will and trust in his grace for the areas where we fall short. Tonight we're going to sing a hymn to encourage anyone who might feel like that their life is falling short of the perfect will of God. It may well be it's something just within your mind or your heart that you will attune through prayer. Father, forgive me for the sin that I've had in my heart. It might well be it's something that's of a public nature that you want to share with the church and ask their forgiveness as well as that of the Lord God. It might be you're ready to become a child of God and be baptized into Christ, as Romans chapter 6 declared. But whatever your need, we invite you to come now as we stand, as we sing.